Blog Talk Radio.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another crazy Monday night edition on a special Martin Luther King Day. This is the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, with the most, the King of King himself, the master of ceremony, the party animal. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building once again. My goodness. And who else do we have here?
Hey, guys. It's Anitra. How are you?
I am alive and well. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. Be even better once I can get the damn heater to start working. Oh, yay. Okay, we're good.
Okay. So you're now warmed up enough now?
I will be in like 2.2 seconds.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
It's cold out there.
You know why it's cold? Because it's called winter. For some people that don't know, and it's
somebody
called
needs
winter,
to tell Mother Nature that.
Mother Nature's pissed off at some people. What can I say? But the number to call to vent out, to be pissed off, or any questions or comments is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, Anitra B, besides Mother Nature, are you ready to piss some people off?
Of course.
Well, when aren't we?
Oh, that's true.
I know what we do.
It's kind of like our thing, you know, that's what we do, you know, let's go piss people off. Ooh, get pissed off. Boo.
Let's go to the show to get pissed off by three angry people. But besides that, talk about being pissed off. Some people in the party got pissed off. Last week, President Obama gave his last State of the Union address to the people of the United States of America, with a few pipe bombs here and there towards the Republican Party about his job performance over his 8 years in tender. Well, soon to be 8 years.
Yeah.
Sean Bapp, Anitra B. Well, I know Anitra B did not listen to the speech, but Sean Black, what do you think about President Barack Obama's speech? And part two of the question, the main subject, what do you think of his job performance overall as tender of President of the United States of America?
Okay. I'm going to go in on this, so be prepared.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Okay, let me go use the bathroom now.
Get comfortable.
Yes. First and foremost, on this most important day today, on the 30th anniversary of Martin Luther King Day being a national holiday, a lot of people will look at that whole entire speech and wonder, well, okay, this is the last time that President Obama is going to address the nation with his State of the Union address. So, as usual, he has to talk about some of the things that he would like to do in his final year and some of the things that he's done in the past. Now, I will preface this by saying that any time that a Democratic president has anything to say about anything, it is the Republican side to disavow everything that comes up. Same as the other way around. If a Republican president says something along those lines, it is up to the Democrats to disavow pretty much everything a Republican has to say. That's just the way the game is played. Now, as you've heard me say on this show many, many times before, that the Democrats have run and have done good things for this country. They just don't have the grapefruits to actually open their mouths and expound on it, whereas Republicans have done a lot of the same kind of bloviating and talking about some of the things that they've done. But the difference seems to be that the Republicans seem to go and want to address people through fear. You're going to lose your guns. You're going to lose your country. You're going to lose your jobs. President Obama, in the 7 years and change, because we're like almost a year away from him doing his concession speech and him getting in the helicopter and going off into the sunset with his kids and wife, he has done lots of things that a lot of people can't talk about. And one of the things that he has done, if we all remember this, back in 2008, the recession that hit this country that has so many people losing their jobs, we had $787 billion package that the president signed into law to help out the economy, which is something that was supposed to have been done that was going to – it was going to bankrupt the country. We're going to lose all of their jobs and all the other stuff. It cut taxes. It gave unemployment benefits that happened that extended because, remember, at that time they were about to expire. Public works projects were in effect. The economy started to grow. It gained jobs because when he got into office, the economy was – unemployment was up at 10.3%. Right now it currently stands at 5.5%. So he actually got jobs. The last – I believe it was last month, 282,000 jobs were created. Things are rolling in a positive light, and from that sense – healthcare was reformed in the last – between the last 8 years or 7 years that he's been in office. So people don't even really talk about that. There are so many things that have happened while the president has been in office that don't get talked about, including tax cuts, including bin Laden being dealt with, and the whole Iraq war ending, and the Afghanistan war ending. The nuclear agreement that happened with Iran just last year, all of these things have happened under his watch, but there's no credit given to the president, and it's because he's a Democrat. Or maybe it's something deeper. I'm not sure. Maybe it has something to do with skin color.
Chuck, thank you. Just say it. You know,
I think that in all reality, and we all agree with this, anything positive that President Barack Obama has done in his 7 years and change in office has been disavowed, disrespected. He's been the most filibustered president in history. And all he has done has made some positive changes and positive steps to help move the country along. Now, has everything worked? No, because we're still in a huge deficit. Spending has gone through the roof, is still as it normally is. And a lot of things that he's tried to implement has been, as I stated earlier, disavowed by a lot of Republicans. So when you look at that and you wonder what's going to happen as he leaves office, it makes you wonder what's going to happen, because Republicans tried to repeal Obamacare, which is something that has given 95% of people in this country health care, people that didn't have jobs, people that couldn't afford health care. People that, when they had health care with a particular job and lost their jobs, then all of a sudden had no health care at all, or any dental care, or anything of that nature. So when I look at the totality of what the president has done, and he's still got a year to go, I look at the fact that he has made positive strides to getting the country on some semblance of a positive track and trying to point the country into some future that is actually not as dim. And that also leads into the technology age, which he's trying to usher in and make sure that kids that are younger can actually get on board with that, because that's where we're headed more than 21st century. So, yeah, I think it was a positive thing so far. I'll hand it off to you.
Okay, folks, that's all the time we have right now. Thank you for joining us. Absolutely true. Till the next week.
Yeah, till next week when President Obama has something else to do.
I do agree he has done a lot. I just don't think he's done anything for the middle class.
Explain.
Like, Obamacare is not for the middle class. Obamacare is for the poor or the rich. Obamacare is not for the middle class. The middle class, because I know me going under that, I paid an arm and a leg, which it wasn't worth it for me. I actually took the tax cut was cheaper than what they would have charged me every month for health insurance. the cut that they do, and they're gonna charge you
mm-hmm.
when you put these. It's actually more economically sound for me, which is sad.
Hmm.
He doesn't care about the middle class, which is sad.
Well, I think we've seen just in general, and I think this goes back to even before Obama, was that the middle class has been getting squeezed.
I'm living now. I'm paying taxes now.
Yeah. But, and what I'm saying is, though, is that the middle class has been squeezed smaller and smaller every year.
But that's my only problem with him is that he doesn't care about us, which is sad. But that's the reality of the situation. Other than that, I think he did, you know, he did his job. He just forgot about the little people. He only concerns himself on what I feel what would make him newsworthy, the poor or the rich. The middle class is not newsworthy. So that's just my opinion.
Okay. As for me, I'm not going to lie to anyone. I don't know anything about President Obama, really, because I don't follow politics. I don't listen to the news that much because Sean Black and Anisha B know my three favorite words. I don't care.
Of course.
In general, I don't care, you know. But if I have to give credit where credit is due, if I have to say an intake on this, I see President Obama has done something. In the beginning, I believe President Obama was a used car salesman, then he could sell you anything. He could sell you a used car at a new car price. He gave you so much hope, so much belief. People went up to President Obama like he was God, like he was Jesus, like he could change the world or change America. I told people Obama is just a human being like the rest of us. He could do some good things, he could do some bad things. He could make some mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But the people to praise Obama, to me, was like an overkill. I'm like, who's this guy again? I'm like, yes, I do believe George Bush screwed this country up for 8 years. But I don't blame George Bush. I blame the people. But Sean Black, who voted for George Bush twice?
The people.
People. You know, so we all complain about, if you complain about someone for 4 years saying that this person is a horrible mayor, horrible president, horrible governor, why you want to put that person in office again? To this day, I still scratch my head thinking about it. But most of that votes came from the Midwest, from all the rednecks area. That, you know, George Bush will protect this country from 9/11, from Osama bin Laden, so let's vote for this guy. And I believe the same rednecks, the same Midwest people, will vote for Mr. Carnival Barker himself, Donald Trump. But people in the Midwest, they take their politics and their news very seriously. Us, we look, the West Coast and the East Coast is more democratic because it's all about the people. Midwest people love their guns, love their religion, and they love hatred. So if I go out and start preaching about the black man being evil, do not be surprised I get elected president down there. I hate black people. Do not be surprised at that. Oh, my God, the high hate black people. We got to take him in. Because
I hate shit-hating black people.
That would be funny. That almost sounds like a Dave Chappelle routine right there, too.
But for President Obama, I give him a grade of a B+, not an A. But under the situation that he was in, he had 8 years to clean up a big mess. And he fought a lot of people. He did not have much support to help him out from both parties, the Democrat and Republican. And I know Milton S. would love to hear this part. The reason I believe he did not get much support, because he's black. I hate to put a race card.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh, no. Gosh. And Milton S. will call in any minute now to praise this answer. I believe race does have. Yeah.
Check this out.
Go ahead.
When we talk about some of the things that Obama did, and if you have to maybe pull one thing out there, one of the big things that I have to say that was probably as big as anything else is him making sure that the whole country didn't collapse. If you remember when he bailed out the auto industry, And this was just before he was elected in the second term. You remember Mitt Romney and other Republicans saying that the auto industry should go bankrupt so that we can start from scratch.
I remember that.
That is a 3 million job hit. Billions of dollars. When the government took over GM and they made sure that the financial industry, because what people don't realize is that the auto industry is a backbone of this country in a lot of ways. Detroit in general has enough issues with trying to keep jobs and making sure that the area stays afloat. To cripple the auto industry, that would kill the economy. And he made sure that they bailed them out by the government assuming control of GM and then infusing them with money, which within a year or two, the auto industry paid the government back with interest, and now the auto industry is flourishing right now. So that, I believe, that, he doesn't get enough credit for having that done.
So, okay, if George Bush had done that, he would be on everybody's Hall of Fame right now, right?
But you want to know something? George Bush wouldn't have done it. And you know why? Because the economy at the time was in such dire straits. He would have not infused money into the country by doing that. And I think that's the fundamental difference. To say that we're going to bail out the auto industry, for somebody who is already a multi-billionaire, he's not going to do that and have the country go ahead and say, well, we need to take the government and we need to take control of the auto industry and all of the other stuff that's going on. Who knows what would have happened? I guarantee you he wouldn't have bailed them out.
Well, he will just give us another tax cut and give us another $500, which I wouldn't mind that part.
Yeah, go figure.
When we all got well, once again, what does America want? You know, everybody want money. So if I'm going to cut your check for $500, everybody jumping on it, where's my $500? But to Amisha B, the next person that will take over the job, you think that person will have a hard time to continue the process or will try to turn things around? Or depends who it is, of course.
It depends who's elected.
It
really does. It depends who gets that chair. That's going to determine, goes on. The only one I see having a real issue like Obama had would be if Hillary Clinton won the ticket. Because she's a woman. This would be the same reasoning behind the issue with President Obama. The only difference is she'd be a woman. That's the only real, controversy I see going on. Other than that, if any of the gentlemen win, I don't think they'd have much of an issue.
So Sean Black, I'm going to raise up this question again that we did a few shows back.
Okay.
Should we move forward and vote for a woman or another black person? Or should we continue with the stereotype white man in power to make this country move and go forward? Because due to President Obama, how many times we have talked about racism on this show and in the social media and everywhere else? So that is, if we get Hillary Clinton, what are we going to talk about? Sexism? How women on menopause can't handle the world? Or Nietzsche's on her period again, so she's destroying our show?
Anytime.
You vote for the person most qualified.
Exactly.
Who cares what color or sex they are? I don't care what their gender is, or I don't care about any of that. I want to know what they can do.
I'll give you the synopsis of this. Anytime that you are the first of anything, you become the pioneer for that race, that sex, that creed, that color, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, you're going to have the burden of who you represent on your back. But that should not cloud you from the job at hand. If you are the first Asian American president, or if you are the first Haitian American president, or the first woman president, or the first black president, you're not trying. You have a small ideal that you're quote unquote making your own look good, but at the same time the premise is not to represent the black person or the woman or the Asian. You're representing the entire country. Forget about Democrat, Republican, Independent. You're representing the entire country. And your job is to make sure that the United States prospers, not because Obama's black. He's got to look out for the black folks. Or Hillary Clinton's got to look out for all of her women's sisterhood. That's not the way it works. You may get that voter outturn or a turnout when you're voting to help them get you in office so that certain things can be looked at and rectified. But that's not the sole reason why they're running. There's a lot of crap going on in the United States, and you know Donald Trump is the first to talk about this, this, and that. But I'm going to guarantee you one thing. If you hear, and the next president of the United States is Donald Trump, this country is going to have a whole lot of issues on its hand because a lot of programs and a lot of things that have happened that were brought in by this administration are going to go the way of the dodo, and they're going to do it quick.
Well, not necessarily, because remember, the president doesn't have the power to get rid of things unless Congress agrees.
And that's my point. The Congress is Republican. And the president would be Republican. Now, we've seen in the past that the same parties don't necessarily get along. If you have a Democratic president and Democratic House, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be on the same page. But considering where we would be coming from, we already have Republicans in office now, and we have a Democratic outgoing president. And if a Republican president is voted in, and the Republicans are still in power, you're going to have a lot of things that are going on that are going to get repealed.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking to the producer right now.
Oh, Lord. But there's one thing that you have to say, is I am impressed with the fact that during both terms with Obama, he's always been about the people.
Exactly.
He hasn't been about the fact that he is black. You know, that he does have pride, and he is proud. He has said that.
Yes.
But he's about the people, and I give him a lot of credit for doing that.
Okay. We all somehow agree that President Obama did either good, okay, or great job, that type of level. Do you think he was too soft on a certain subject, like ISIS, gun control, racism, or the critics that he received from other people? You think he could be a little bit tougher on that? Or he was tough enough?
No, I don't think he was tough enough. I think he's typical salesman, like you said before. He talks a really good game. But I think his bark is bigger than his bite.
Okay, Sean Black?
I think he could have been tougher in some instances, and I think in others he was actually tougher than a lot of people would have thought. And a lot of people wondered when he first came in with his second, just before his second term, when he talked about we're going to end the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq, and we're going to do that within 16 months, if we can do that, to phase them out. A lot of people thought, it's the same old stuff. Government likes to throw money into wars. That's how they make their money. And basically what happened, those wars ended. And now he's being goaded into another war with Syria to get them to get ground troops there. And mostly because it's like, well, we have to do this and we have to do that. And then we're almost goaded into something with Russia, where Russia is doing something with Syria, trying to take over Syria land. And there's a lot of things, moving parts that are going on. But I think that when you talk about Obama, can he be a stronger president on a lot of things? Probably. But I think you also have to remember, every time that he has tried to get something done, he's had opposition at every step. And in some small instances, he's had to actually use executive order. And that's something that presidents notoriously don't necessarily do all the time. Mm-hmm. He's, like I said before, the most filibustered president in history. Most of the things that he's tried to either implement or try to get through Congress have been shot down. Why? Because he's Democrat? Maybe. Because he's African-American? Maybe. Maybe Congress doesn't like him? Maybe. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there are a lot of things that he would have liked to have implemented, that, as Anitra said, he could have been stronger in certain instances. He probably just didn't have a dog in the fight, mostly because he just didn't get that opportunity because it was shot down.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I voted for him both terms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret that at all. You know, I voted for him the first time because I believed he could take us out of the shit show we were in. Mm-hmm. And I voted for him the second time because I feel that he was handed a shit show. And I'm sorry, but nobody could have fixed the situation we were in 4 years.
Oh, no. No.
Nobody. But
no.
I believe,
no,
I felt that he had the tools to at least take us out of it. And he did.
I disagree. There's a couple of people that can't fix this country in 4 years. And ladies and gentlemen, the high rider is one of those people that could fix this damn country in 4 years. And I guarantee you, I could do the job. Thank you so much. Carry
well,
on.
You know,
you can't get
everybody in Congress drunk. That's not the one thing that you can do to get the country back on track.
Either I will get them drunk or high. Hello. We all go together.
Well, I tell you, the State of the Union address would be really interesting. You'd have a whole bunch of naked people in Congress throwing around their underwear and getting really rowdy, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I'm a master of ceremonies. That's what I'm here for. So if you guys can, and let's say there was a third term, will you vote for President Obama again?
I would.
For a third
time? I would. And the reason why is because he's trying to accomplish something or get certain things done, and he's not going to be able to finish that job. And I think that's the beauty of a two-term limit, is the fact that you have your ideas and things that you've implemented that you would want to do, and then you have the opportunity to have somebody with fresh ideas and a fresh approach either expound on what's already there or try and go in a different way and see if it works. But the bottom line is the President of the United States has to actually make sure that the American people are in a better position when he got in than when he leaves. If he went in and it was in a particular situation, and then by the time he gets out of office, everything was worse, you don't need to be reelected. And I think that's what the issue is.
Has he announced yet who he's backing?
I don't think he's done it yet.
I haven't heard anything. I'm curious.
He can't
be back.
Yeah, I think the Iowa caucuses are 2 weeks from now. I think he'll probably endorse somebody around that time.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who he like. Usually, you could tell who they're gonna back. I really don't know this time.
Yeah, he's keeping everything close to the vest. And,
he really is.
Likely so, because you know an endorsement from Obama is going to give a huge boost to whoever he endorses.
So as for now, guys, unless you guys change your mind. Who do you endorse right now on either Democrat or Republican?
Oh, there isn't a Republican in the room that has my brain thinking about, you know, he might actually do something for the country and do it well. Because nobody knows, even if you're a Republican, I'm pretty sure Republicans don't even really know. Because all they're doing is arguing and yelling at each other. I haven't heard a single solution or an idea that might work. Because all I hear is, oh, Ted Cruz, you don't live here, you're Canadian. Or, oh, well, you stink because blah, blah, blah. Oh, Donald Trump is a racist. I haven't heard a single solution that actually makes sense from anybody on that side. And I've actually heard between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton some sort of intelligence between the two of them about what is going on. That you don't hear from the other side. And I think that does a disservice to their party, because if they're trying to get a Republican voted, other than the carnival barking and yelling and screaming, you're not getting any information out of anyone that can be useful.
Okay. Do you have an idea of who you want to vote for, or are you still undecided?
You know, I think by the Iowa caucuses, I'll probably have an idea of who I will vote for, because Bernie Sanders makes a lot of very compelling points. It makes a lot of sense with some of the things he wants to do. Hillary makes just as much sense, and she is kind of like comfort food, because we know where she's going, we know what she's thinking about, and we know what kind of policy she may enact. So I'm still up in the air, but it's very close for me.
Rod, what about you?
I don't give a damn.
That's he's voting for Grey Goose. We already know that.
Thank you.
The write-in vote is Grey Goose.
I'm leaning towards Hillary Clinton. Not because she's a woman. I'll make this very clear. My vote has, like when I voted for Obama, has nothing to do. I don't care what your gender is, your race is. That's all irrelevant to me. I just feel that she might be the better person to do the job.
Okay, she could do a job all right, but that's something else right now.
Oh,
but
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Okay, on to the next subject. In Atlanta, I'm sorry. In Atlanta, there's a community joining forces right now to start a private school where students from walks of life, mainly those who are gay, lesbian, or transgender families, can feel comfortable. They say their mission is to provide a safe and fun place for students to learn while they letting them be who they are. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, in Atlanta, they want to form a new private school for gays and lesbians and transgenders and all LGBT walks of life, so they could be themselves and learn at the same time. But they're going to start from pre-K to 8th grade. Sean Black, do you see any pros and cons about this? And how do you really feel about this?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I think the name of the school is called the Pride School Atlanta, and they're actually going from kindergarten to 12th grade now. And admission is supposed to start, I believe tuition is supposed to be $13,000. And it's a private school, they got to make money somehow. They're going to start opening in September, I think. I think when we're talking about what we've seen people that are trying to find out about their identity and they don't know exactly who they are, I don't know if starting at such a young age is the right thing because they don't really know yet who they are first. Maybe there are some inklings, maybe there's research involved of people knowing when they're very young, like age 4, age 5, age 6, that they may have that within them. Maybe that is the case. But I think on some level they have to be able to discover themselves of who they are first before you can actually have a school dedicated that young in age. Now, to have an actual school for the LGBT community, I have no issue with that. It's just the age and what kind of curriculum, how they're going to present it to the kids. And as long as it's a safe environment for learning and growing and they're able to feel good about themselves while they're there and learn, then I have no issue with that at all. So kudos to them.
I have a problem.
Okay.
With it.
Because I think outside the box. But I do agree. I have no problem of a school for gays and lesbians or transgenders. Right now I call it LGBT. I think that's the name of it, right?
Yeah, LGBT. Yeah.
At what age do a person or a child knows he or she is gay or know about their sexual orientation? Do they need to hear about it? No problem. But I have a problem if a kindergarten or first grader try to figure out if he or she is gay and they don't know their 1, 2, 3s or don't know what 2 + 2 is yet. Should we be focusing on other things first? Shouldn't, whether you're gay or not, come later on in life when a child understands more about sexual orientation? I'm sorry, if my son come up to me at 5 years old, "Daddy, I think I'm gay." I'm like, "How do you know that?" I can't explain that to him. And
at
I'm
5 years
sure
old, does a child even know what gay is? That's the question.
To start from pre-K, high school, I think so. Because high school, you have a more better idea. You reach puberty and all that stuff. Even junior high school, you want to go younger than that. But from first grade, second grade, third grade, you should be joining school in general. But the second problem I have is, yes, they're trying to make a safe environment for the gays and lesbians. Because, you know, the society cannot accept who they are. I'm sorry, guys. We've been through this for a very long time. I believe you should fight your way. I went to high school 30 years ago. We had this one kid. He dressed as a girl, you know, but he could receive a lot of press because he stand out. The only question we had, what bathroom does he use, the guys or the girls? But as Anisha always said, that we are too sensitive. We're a bunch of wussies. And we cannot face our problems. So I think building another school It's kind of like run away from the problem. Because our kids cannot face bullying. We all been bullying once or twice. Sean bullied me every weekend on the show. But I still take it. You know, you, do you see my drift? I think it's a good thing, but a bad thing. I don't think we should run away from society in today. And we have another caller. Caller, I'll get to you in 1 minute. Anisha B., before I continue, what do you think so far?
Honestly, I don't care. Just as long as they are sticking to the curriculum at hand and these children are being educated the right way, what do I care? It's irrelevant to me that it's a gay and trans school. It's no different than having a Catholic school, predominantly this school, predominantly that school. What the hell is the difference?
There is a difference.
What?
There's a difference between a Catholic school and a public school, between a white school and a black school. There's a difference. There's a difference between
exactly.
An initial school and a sleeping
room. No, but I'm just saying, like, if these children are going to feel safer going to a school like this, a 12-year-old is going to feel safer. So realistically, they have an 85 to 90% chance of getting their ass kicked. It happens all the time. It's a realization. It's fact. It's sad, but it's true. If they feel safer going to a school like this, why not? If they're being educated the right way, what's the big deal? Taxpayers are paying for it. It's a private school.
No.
The parents are paying for it.
Well, what happens? You can't afford it to send your child to that school. And you want your child to go to that school.
Then they go to public school like everybody else. But if they can't afford it, why not?
Especially when tuition is $13,000.
Exactly. If you can afford it, why not? It's your decision in life. It's your child. That's it.
And the parents should know what their child is, how they are, their tendencies.
Exactly.
And if this is in accord, if this is in accordance with like a child psychologist or a guidance counselor, and your child is showing traits that maybe he or she is gay or feels gay or is at up that age where they're curious about their own sexuality. Maybe this is something that would be for them based on the fact that, like we said before, bullying. As you stated, everybody got bullied when they were younger. But in this day and age today, the bullying is much worse because we didn't have social media as far as the bullying tactics. We didn't have people with cell phones recording things, beating people up and then putting it on the internet or sending threats to other people's houses through voicemail or in emails or doing those kinds of things. So in that sense, the bullying is a completely different way of bullying, which I think can probably be much worse. And I think schools like this, if it takes off, would be great.
Yeah,
but I see where you're coming from, Hot Rod, as far as the whole, you know, running away from it kind of idea. Like if you go to public school and you're taking them to the private school, you're trying to keep them away, being shunned away from the public. I can understand that thought process.
No, I can too.
Okay,
I do. I do understand where you're coming from, Rodney. I just really don't see what the controversy is. I don't see what the big deal is. These people paying for it out of their pockets. What you do, your money, your family is your business.
I think it's more or less the age. More than anything else.
That's
the issue.
I don't see the big deal about this.
Before I go to you, K-Dog, I just have to make this statement. Sean, what you said about the bullying and everything, they're going to face the same, almost similar, bullying and same problems in a gay school as they go to a non-gay school. I'm just saying that out.
There's going to be bullying in the gay school. It's not like just because you're in this gay school, nothing's going to happen to you. I'm pretty sure gay people in a gay high school or a gay school will get beat up by the same gay people that are in their school. Then they're bullying them for lunch money and, oh, your breast smells or your hair is too long. They'll find something to bully them about.
So it's like, okay, there's a different type of bullying, but it's still bullying is bullying. But K-Dog, what is your instinct?
My instinct is, well, first up, I got to say, I'm here. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, good. All right, well, first up, I got to just say good evening. And the one thing that I got to say about this school is that, like Sean said earlier, nowadays, when a child, especially when they're like 13, 14 years old, especially when they're of high school age, when they begin to discover who they really are, like let's just say children discover themselves. You know, they can't help but being born the way they are. Now, when it comes to the LGBT community, especially when they're very young, they become targets. They become some nasty targets. I mean, you have some bullies out there that will shame you on social media. And when they shame, I mean, cyberbullying is at an all-time high. I mean, we've had children who have committed suicide because of cyberbullying. Now, when it comes to the LGBT community with the schools, I feel that, yes, so what? They have a school, and let them have their school. Because it would be a safer environment for them to be in a school where they're safe, because being in a regular school is just dangerous. And they become target of relentless bullying, merciless bullying,
yeah,
the worst way. Things you wouldn't even believe could happen to them. You understand what I'm saying? It's just speaking reality.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I am running low on my special cranberry juice. But carry on, K-Dog.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
We don't want him to turn into the Incredible Bulk. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we don't want
him to.
You know how, yeah, you understand what I'm saying, guys. I'm not, you know, it would be safer for them to be in a school where they're safe. That's all I gotta say. You know, because like you said, bullying has changed. Bullying has changed. I mean, you have, it's not, everyone's been bullied, everybody's been bullied, but.
Okay, K-Dog.
Yeah.
So how about this? So since we might open up a school for LGBT, let me open up a school for black people so they can be safe. Then I need to open up a school for white people only so they could be safe. Sean Black, let's open up a school for athletes so they could be safe. Let's open up a school for every different type of people so they all could be safe, so we can avoid being bullied and being wealthy. If this continues, why not open other schools?
It's not about that. You're taking it to a whole other level.
No, it's not all about that. This is the thing. It's society. Because remember, in this society, there's two big extremes in the world today: politics and religion. And especially when it comes to religion, because you have religions out there who promote anti-gay rhetoric every time. Time and time again, you hear anti-gay rhetoric. And, you know, you have children who go to church and, you know, and I'm not disrespecting anybody's religion, whatever religion you may be, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. But, however, with the anti-gay rhetoric, what you're giving is, you know, meanings for hatred. You know, you have a lot of hatred out there, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know?
But I'm just saying. Someone like Malcolm or Milton X, let me open up a school for all blacks so they can learn about the black history, but they're not learning black history in the school today.
Oh, my goodness.
What's stopping me of opening my own school? Well, I'd be wrong if I open my own school of blacks only or whites only overall. That is my main question.
This is totally different. This is a totally different case. You're talking about race. We're talking about an alternative lifestyle here. And, you know, all races have a problem with that. A lot of races have a problem with LGBT. In some races, it's not even welcome. In some countries, according to their culture, if you are gay, you are a target of death. You deserve death for being gay in some countries. Believe it or not,
in a lot of West Indian cultures, that is definitely the case. Especially
yes,
a lot of cultures where they take a lot of things from the Old Testament Bible.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was
they
saying.
Take
by,
it
by
to
religion.
The letter. What you are, you're an abomination. You're not normal.
Yeah,
and they
hell.
Take it literal. There are plenty of videos on YouTube that show people that either have come out or just trying to live their lives as the LGBT people that they are and just
they
be able to find their
country.
Authentic selves and be themselves and have been attacked mercilessly, some almost
oh,
killed.
Oh, yeah.
So,
some of them were actually killed.
Yeah, and that's
they're
the thing.
They're dragged to the street. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
It's one of those touchy subjects where I wonder if, let's say, for instance, Hot Rod, and we talk about this when we hear about, you know, anybody coming out as gay in, like, the West Indian communities or out in other West Indian countries. Imagine if this LGBT school was opening in, let's say, Jamaica or open in Trinidad.
Or even Haiti.
Or Haiti or any other West Indian Turks and Caicos. I would really be interested to find out what the feedback would have been if that was the case.
It would be a good one. It would end
up. Those schools will be burnt down to the ground. They would not be built
exactly.
at all because West Indian people, most of them, or some, I should say some of them, not most, are still in the old school mentality of gays and lesbians. Like, it doesn't exist. It's a sin. Also, some Catholics, some Jews, Muslim. A lot of people think gays is a sin. We are a little bit more open-minded. We don't care about it overall. I brought the subject up about the school thing. I don't want people to be there's one thing to preach and one thing to afford someone to turn gay or be gay, to be open-minded.
No.
If you understand what I mean by that. There's one thing to say, hey, you know, gay, whatever. But I don't want someone preaching like, okay, it's good to be gay, to be right up there, turn gay. But some people don't preach that, try to force that. Sean, you've been through that? I've been through that. And Alicia B, she's been through it nonstop, and she's a beautiful woman. See, I gave you a compliment.
What?
I get no credit for it.
I know, I'm in shock. I don't know how to take that.
You know why? Because you're expecting something to be right afterwards.
Exactly. Something else comes at you. Knowing Hot Rod, you know how that goes. No, but you know what? I will say this. When it comes, you know, I don't care how people live their lives. I could care less. You know, do you. Live the way you want to. But, however, when it comes to the LGBT, people are born that way. And people have to accept people are born gay. That's the bottom line. People are born gay.
And the problem is there is a large section of society around the world that will not accept it. And that's part of the issue where a lot of the situation comes from. And when we talk about a lot of the progressive movements that have happened in the last few years, this is where you get a lot of consternation from everybody. You know, President Obama, another good thing that talking about President Obama, was able to legalize gay marriage throughout the United States, which is a big decision that had to be made to cross through a lot of barriers. That is the continuing evolution of what's going on. And I'm pretty sure that there are politicians that would like to rescind that as soon as they can.
Yeah, they
would. Can.
Because you know what? This is the thing. Like I said about politics and religion, you know, like I said, there's a big faction of religions who preach against it constantly.
All religions preach against it. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Some more hardcore, but...
Yeah, very, very blunt.
But
they
should be
hiding about it.
But it should be, how do you know that if you don't follow religion?
Because I grew up in a very religious home.
So that's an example of a religion. Now, you cannot say that all religions don't believe in gays.
No, I'm just saying in general, just from what you see, I have friends that are Jewish, I have friends that are Muslim, and I have friends that are Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, and they all tell me the same thing, that the basic idea is that it is a sin.
Yeah. You can just look at the reactions that a lot of people get when you look on TV and listen to. Go on the internet and go into one of those forums and see all the comments that people write. Or even better, you can go to like some of the newspapers that have their own websites and look in the comments section. Go on YouTube and read the comments section. It's full of that stuff.
Yeah, they write that gay people are due to internal damnation.
Abomination, they need
to
die, everything. It's ridiculous.
They're worthy of death. Because you know what, Sean? I'm glad to point that out.
No, but there are religious people that are open-minded, which is nice to see.
You
I have religious friends who go to church every Sunday or every Saturday.
Yeah.
and they are open-minded about homosexuality and about transgender, which is nice to see.
But not all of not all, because you know you have, like I said, you know they're feeded with that kind of teaching that it's an abomination. That let's just say they have a friend who they didn't know that was gay, but once they found out that person's gay, I can't be your friend no more.
Yeah, but not everybody's close-minded like that anymore, darling.
Yeah.
Well, time has changed indeed, and I think that's why they opened up the school. But what if the school's not successful? Because people are not ready to come out.
And at least they tried.
I think that if they're at the point where they're willing to charge $13,000 for tuition, I think it's safe to say that they're ready to open as soon as they can. And I think that the parents are strong enough to know that their child has enough to be able to go into a school, feel safe about themselves, and not have to worry as much about some of the things that would have happened had they gone to a public school or had they gone to another private school where a lot of that bullying would have completely happened.
Oh, man.
On an even higher scale. So I think that when we're looking at the schools, I think that we'll see how this happens because they open up in September. Let's see how many students are enrolled by the time that they start.
And let's see how many picket lines, and let's see how many protesters are going to show up in front of the school as well.
Well, as a parent, if I don't want to send my child to that school, knowing that my son's daughter is gay or lesbian, am I wrong as a parent for not sending my son to that school?
No, of course not.
No, you're not wrong.
That's an individual thing for a parent. The parent has to know what's right for their child. If you feel that, because in certain instances, I'm pretty sure it's not right for every child. And I don't think the assumption should be because you have a child that may be an LGBT child or is showing signs that maybe that's who they are or that is they're going to become, that you have to send them to a particular school. That's not the case. It's an individual thing for a child and their parent or parents to see what happens.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, let me give a perfect example. Remember, back in them days, when we was young boys, we played with mommy's shoes and we did dress up. That's in a party last weekend, you saw my son with a tiara and a pink shirt. But now these days, if a child does that, it calls red flag. Like, oh, my God, my son could be gay or my daughter could be a lesbian.
Yeah,
what should I do?
People go into panic.
You know, people go into crazy. Back then, it was not a problem.
Yeah. Think about this. All kids, when they are young, will do and mimic and imitate what they see because to them, the stimulus is exciting for them. They see mommy dressing up in dresses and shoes. They dress up in shoes with dresses. They see the mother had a doll. They play with the mother's doll. They go to kindergarten.
Not
they play with the doll.
Days.
This is normal. And the way society deals with this is they have to define everything. Boys have blue. Girls have pink. Split down the middle. That's always the way it's been. Guys play with action figures. Girls play with dolls. It's always been that way. When
exactly.
I was in school, there were girls that played with toy cars as much as they played with dolls. There were male kids that played with dolls as much as they played with action figures. So you can't just say because of that curiosity of playing with toys that are quote-unquote designated for the opposite sex, that means all of a sudden that they're going to become effeminate. That's not the case. That's how they learn how to interact.
Well,
and that's perfectly normal.
People get paranoid and that's stupid. That's
well,
all that
you
is.
Know what? Some, especially some fathers out there, once they see their sons wearing something pink, hey, take that off. Be a man. You know, they're not going to tolerate that.
For the record,
in certain cultures.
But for the record, my producer just texted me that I was also wearing a tiara and a pink shirt as well in the party. So does that make me gay?
Well, not only that, you also wore a pink boa, too, if I recall.
That makes you
a man who is proud that his girlfriend is having a that you and your girlfriend are having a girl, a daughter. That's what that makes you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that makes you a proud papa.
A proud papa, yes.
Proud.
I'm having a...
And that's fabulous.
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, the Hava hates pink. I hate the color pink. I do not wear pink.
He won't even take Pepto Bismol if he had to use it.
I don't believe in pink.
I
don't believe in pink.
Guys, you want to hear something interesting? One time I was at the barbershop, and I heard a man was talking about his son and his son and his daughter. Now, he says that the son and his sister have a very close relationship, and one time the son was playing with the sister's purse, and he turned around and slapped the son in the head and told the son to put that purse down, that be a man. You know, he just had one of those panic moments. You know?
Well,
that's what I wanted to point out. Yeah.
I think the more you do that, the more the person might be, the more you do something like that, the more person might be curious the why daddy don't want me to act that way. Well, you know, when you try to ban a child of doing something, they end up doing it anyway, but they want to know the danger. They want the thrill of it, like, okay, why can't I go to the refrigerator to get that last cookie or whatever? So maybe that guy is pushing that son to go that way. I don't know.
Well, you know what it is? Like, for example, if I take, let's say I take little man out to go toy shopping, okay, am I going to buy him a Barbie doll? No, because that's ridiculous. But if he picks one up when his sister's born and if they play together, that's perfectly, people are just retarded. They're taking it to extremes that don't need to be there.
Yes. I have a cousin that has three children. Two girls, one boy. Boy plays with the girl dolls all the time, but the girls always play with his cars. It's perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with that.
Not all parents are the same. That's the problem. Not all of them are the same.
And a lot of that is because they're scared to allow their children to explore things because they are afraid of what society puts as normal. And they're going to get cast aside all of the negativity that goes along with the perception. And that's the problem.
Exactly.
People are correct now. It's ridiculous.
You're right. There's nothing wrong with that. For example, Sean Black wear pink thongs. He's still fine by us. We still support him no matter what, right? Yes. Okay, we have another caller. 930, you're on the air.
Hello.
Business is picked up.
Oh, man.
Yes, of course. You know, I got to jump in and piss everybody off. Right, Rodney?
Yes, entertain us. Milton X, go ahead.
This is what I do. Now, as far as this whole gay school thing, it's all part of an even more bigger issue in that the gay community has an agenda. They put their money behind it. They got that wealth, power, and influence. I've said numerous times before, and using that to their advantage. You know, listen, this whole thing in Atlanta, which is, to be honest about Atlanta, that's like the black gay capital of the world anyway, if you really want to be real about that shit. But the biggest thing is, like, this is just the start of it. They're going to be all gay type of schools all over the country here, probably all over the world now. So I know Ronnie's not a real big fan of it, to be honest about it. It doesn't really, rock with me, to be honest about it, but it doesn't matter what we think. They got the money, they got the power, they're going to run with it what it is. And as far as, gays being risked for being teased or disrespected, not anymore in schools. Trust me, I work in schools every day. And you can believe that whole gays getting messed with in school, that shit don't happen no more. Because even if you mess with somebody because you think they're gay, you don't get kicked out of school.
Because
I remember back in the day it was like that, but now it ain't like that.
That's not true, though. You're wrong. Because you're talking about New York schools.
They still pick on them. They still get picked on.
There's a huge percentage of gay and transgender children and teenagers that get abused. It might not happen as much in New York because we're a city, but New York is very different.
I'm
just going on what I see every day. Now, you may be right. You may have numbers to back that up. But I'm just going on my four eyes. You know what I'm saying? Now, you may be right in other little rural areas of the world. They may still get messed with it and stuff like that. But that whole climate is changing now.
It's changing.
So. So trust me,
but there's been
the whole thing about gays getting messed with, it's not like it used to be in in a big
way.
Well,
some places it's relevant, man. It's relevant. They get picked on.
To Milton's point, I have to agree that Atlanta is a very huge gay community down there, and it's no shocker that down there's like one of the first openly gay school to be opened up in September.
Right, of course.
So if it's all from there, why not L.A.? Why not New York? Why not other great cities?
Especially that they're much more progressive in certain areas. Also.
Exactly. You know?
But, listen, let's go back to the original question from earlier. What do you think about President Obama, and do you think he did a great job as President of the United States of America? I know that's what you really want to talk about tonight.
He is. He's all right. I mean, if I look at it as, you know, to be honest, for Black America, there has not been that much of a difference between Bush or Obama, to be perfectly honest about it. Now, overall, you know what I mean?
I wouldn't go that far.
That much difference, bro.
But Sean earlier on the show went on an achievement that President Obama did. So what do you think about that? So he's trying to say that President Obama did not achieve anything?
I'm talking about specifically for Black folk. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he may have got some things done. I know he took care of Detroit and the whole auto thing, you know, as far as that's concerned, that's a good thing. There's good things here and there. But overall, he's done more for gays and more for, you know, Latinos to a certain extent than for Blacks. And that's the documentary, A, for gay marriage, B, immigration and things of that nature. So, you know, like I said, to be honest, from a preference standpoint, I understand the image that Obama portrays, and I know a lot of Black folks love that shit. You see, you know, President Mrs. Obama walking around the White House, you know what I mean? It looks like the real-life Cosby show and whatnot. But there's more style and substance there, but it is what it is. I know my opinion about that. Mr. Obama's not popular, so.
Sean Black, what do you think?
I definitely disagree. I understand. I think you're coming at it from the Black perspective as far as,
yeah,
as opposed to the national perspective. I come at it from the national perspective, where he has done as much as some past presidents have had a chance to do. But as I stated earlier, he's been the most filibustered president out there. So a lot of things he's wanted to do that would have helped more people didn't get a chance to be heard because Congress shot it down.
Well, of course, because Congress is run by the Republican side, mm-hmm, they're going to, you know, block that while
it
happens.
And it's the Republican mind, it's the hive mind of the Republican Party to shoot down anything Obama will want to do. It's the same kind of thing that happened when Bill Clinton was in office. Republicans were supposed to shoot everything down that he says.
Well, mind if I say this? Mind if I interrupt for a few? From what I've seen, President Obama has stood in the face of direct opposition from the Republican Party. He faced opposition even before he got into office. From the moment he won that election in 2008, the Republican Party turned their backs on him. They said, "We're going to do everything to bring him down. We're going to vote against every policy that he comes up with." And you know what? There's something else that you guys need to understand, too. The very same day, on January 20th, 2009, the very same day that President Obama was inaugurated, what do you know? That very same night, as the nation was celebrating, the very same night as the parties were going on in Washington, Republicans gathered together to determine, to say, we are determined to make Barack Obama a one-term president. And it wasn't just heard just once. It was heard several times because Mitch McConnell, the day after that 2010 midterm election, Mitch McConnell stood there and said that his top political goal was to make Barack Obama a one-term president. And I could say this, if there's anyone who showed perseverance, President Obama did show perseverance in the face of direct opposition.
He showed it. And as for the perspective, all I could say is this, is that there are laws that could have been passed, laws that people don't really know about, that could have been passed, but the Republicans, they shut it down at every instance. And you know what? Some Democrats were part of that shutdown, too. There were Democrats who voted against this policy,
too. I understand
too.
What you're saying, Carl, but I know this. When it came to gay marriage, President Obama went to the Supreme Court and personally lobbied for getting marriage to be pushed through.
True, he did.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to know what issue that, you know, for the black community that he did the same, put the same effort in for. I don't know what
it is.
Maybe there's something. I don't know. That's my whole point. You know what I'm saying?
Milton,
there was no...
What did you want him
yeah.
to push through? Like what? Of course he pushed gay marriage through. How would
they,
you
they
like it? You pay taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do what you're supposed to do. How would you like it if someone told you you can't get married?
Listen,
if you can have the same basic rights as every other person sitting next to you. That's what that was about.
What's the thing? Well, hold in your mind, everybody ain't for that, though. Because
that's
a lot of people don't go for that. Well,
it's irrelevant.
And how is that irrelevant?
Anything.
Okay.
Can I answer that? Is it any of my business who you bring to your bed? Is it anybody's business who you bring to
behind your... closed doors is not my business.
Exactly.
Because you
well,
put it out there.
But that was the point.
If you put it out there in front of me, then it becomes my business.
How is it anyone's business who you choose to marry?
You know, Milt, there
listen,
was a time when African Americans couldn't
Let's
even vote.
About this.
There were times when African Americans probably
exactly.
couldn't even get married.
Exactly.
And that whole thought process behind it of fighting to make sure that they had the same kind of rights
right?
is the
yeah,
same kind of thought
has.
Process behind it.
Well,
if you're going to go in and say that if you live in this country and you want to have some kind of civil rights.
People getting married and gay people getting married. Let's be
okay,
honest about
no, no,
that.
No, 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 no. There's no difference. Listen. This is the thing.
What is the difference between gay marriages and black people getting married?
No difference at all.
There's no difference. It's two people in love.
Marriage is because, listen, first of all, listen, marriage is supposed to be a man and a woman. Let's be honest here. Let's be real. This whole man marrying man and woman marrying woman is a bunch of bullshit. We got law.
According to our law, it's not.
Because the law got changed,
but the gay folk got their money up.
Because you know what? Let me say this. Okay, the LGBT community, as much as you may knock it, they have something that we as black people don't have, and that is a united front. Because they put their heads together. That's why. It wasn't just money. It was the fact that they formed a united front. Because you know what? The thing is, do we have that united front to get bills passed?
No, we don't put our money together on that.
No, because we don't put our money together, and we don't put our heads together to get things done.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I lost it.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Milton. Relax for a minute. Okay. All I'm saying is this. What the gay community has done, wealth, power, influence. When you have wealth, you acquire wealth, that turns into power. You buy the politicians. You buy the court system. You buy the judges. You do what you got to do. And when you have that wealth and that power, you can influence what you want to influence. Like, we influence America, we influence the world. It's just that simple. That's why we got the gay schools coming up now. You understand what I'm saying? So they got their whole mindset, oh, you know what? We just want to buy them out. That's what they did. Unfortunately, black folks don't have that same mindset as of yet. You know what I'm saying? It's starting now, inklings of it. But we got to do the same thing. Instead of asking politicians what they're going to do for us, we tell them what we want. And we smack them in the face with the money. have what the gay folks have done and the long levels, you know, Latins and Asians have done those type of things. You know what I'm saying? That's why the whole voting thing is irrelevant. Because you could be voting without the money behind it, but it doesn't work. We've been working for years and decades and haven't worked for it. We don't put the money behind it.
Yeah, all right, Kato, take it away. What do you think? Because we have to go to another subject.
Okay, all I got to say is this, is that when it comes to forming a united front, the gays formed the united front and they fought for what they wanted. They fought for what they wanted, and they were able to get it. They were able to get marriage equality. And the thing is, when we as a people get ourselves together, we shouldn't have to worry about the government. We shouldn't have to ask the government for anything. We need to do things on our own. Form a united front and do things for ourselves, so that it could benefit the future of our children and ourselves as a people.
Okay. All right. So I have to go to the next subject right away. Good point from everybody. Sean Brown, you had a little bit of a pet peeve.
Anyway, I just got to go and say, I just want to go and say good night to everybody and enjoy the rest of the show. Peace out, y'all.
All right. Thanks good
night,
a lot.
Carolyn.
Hey, peace, everybody.
So K-Dog. Sean Black, you have like a little problem with the Oscar nominations this week. Why is that?
Yeah, we talked about this during the week.
Whoa!
Oh, we had such a spirited discussion over this the last few days.
Hold on. I'm giving you and Milton X 5 minutes together to go over the subject. Take it away. This is all yours. I have nothing to say. I have to go drink.
Oh, yeah. Sean,
we might actually agree on some
Sean,
of the things.
Start off, Sean. I'm going to pour me some rum right now.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Basically, for those that have been wondering, we've known for years and years and years, not just the Oscars, it's the Academy of Arts and Music Sciences, the ones that take over for a lot of these award ceremonies, especially the Oscars, the ones that are in charge of doing that. We know that there are a lot of movies that get released in 1 year. And the categories go from music, sound, and all of the other things to the actors and actresses that portray it, those movies that you see on TV. In the last 2 years, there have been 40 either white actors or white actresses that have been nominated for various awards. And not one African-American face or Hispanic face has been shown as somebody that is deserving of one of these awards. And I figure if you're spending a lot of money in the industry and you want African-American dollars, you want the Hispanic dollars, you want all of these other minorities that are going to come out and pay money to see movies, especially when the movies are making billions and billions and billions of dollars, and the ones that are that are responsible for getting that there don't even get the recognition. Not necessarily the fact that they weren't nominated. If they don't win the award. A lot of instances, they're not even getting nominated. So they're not even getting the attention and the recognition that they deserve. And what we're seeing now are a lot of celebrities going out and actually trying to get on a unified front and now talking about pulling out of the Oscars in some instances. I don't know if that's going to actually happen, but we'll see.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but some people did pull out of the event itself and refused to back it, which I think is a wonderful front.
Yes.
Did you get a speech that Jada Pinkett Smith gave?
And that's,
she gave a really insightful speech.
Yes. And I think that the enlightenment has to come from the fact that if you're going to have a movie like Star Wars, which has been making billions and billions of dollars, it seems like every week you're hearing another $100 million this weekend, and the star of the movie is a female.
Get to the point, please, Sean Black. Get to the damn point.
I already got to the point, and the point is, since obviously you don't care about it, but I know there are people that are out there that do, the fact remains that a lot of these award ceremonies, African-Americans, Hispanics, women, don't seem to get a lot of the same attention that they should deserve based on what is out there. And I think that's where the issue is.
Okay, Milton.
Okay. Now, this is down. Sean has broken this down succinctly and properly. I come up from a different angle.
Okay.
But to be perfectly honest, I don't give a damn about the Oscars. As black people, we shouldn't give a damn about the Oscars. They ain't for us. They never been for us. Only time they, you know, they give us a couple little crumbs is because they want to perform on their shows and make it hot, to be honest about it. So I'm like, you know what, the hell with them anyway. Keep your little white Oscars, because that's what it really is about. We need to have our own award shows. You know what I'm saying? And recognize our own people. You know? So,
are you talking about the
BET Awards? We have our own Black Hollywood, to be honest about it. We don't need them for shit. So the hell are they Oscars? I do like the fact that some, you know, actors like David Pickett Smith or, you know, waking up to the realization that the Oscars was full of shit. But at the end of the day, you know, we could get mad about that shit, but so what? We don't need, what's the thing out of black people need to get in their head? You don't need white validation for anything. You don't need white people permission to feel good about yourself. You understand? So I say, make your own awards, make our own self hot, and the hell with them.
So it doesn't work that
okay.
way. But okay.
It should work that way. So
it
should
be
what?
What do you think, Anisha B? Is Milton X right?
No, actually, I get where you're coming from, Milton, but you're wrong. And I'll explain to you why. Because having that ideal makes you no better than the retards that are doing this to begin with. Makes you you're no better than them. The idea is not to segregate it. The idea is to celebrate everybody. Because they're all coworkers. They all work together. If you're going to separate it, you're no better than the idiots who are doing what they're doing.
It's already separated now. Like, my whole point is,
that's really
honest, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. The problem is, we need their validation, and we don't. You know what I'm saying? And we have our own awards. We could recognize black people too on our show. You know what I'm saying? We could recognize other people on our show.
Yeah,
you know
but you're
saying?
Missing
we
the point.
We have actually. I'm not. The point is.
Yeah,
this.
You really are. Because the
own.
Point is, they don't want to. They want to recognize everybody as the actors and actresses they are. The fact that they're white or black should be irrelevant. That's the point.
But it's not.
You're missing
it's always
the point.
Always irrelevant. So the whole thing about, you know, we just as one big happy family, that's just not going to happen. And it never happened in America, so why is it going to happen now?
Because that's the point.
And number two is, we all keep depending on them. And that shit don't work.
I personally don't give a damn. I don't really watch the show, so I couldn't care less.
I think it's safe to say that none of us really watch the Oscars. I don't think it's not necessarily what would make the show better or any of that, because we all could care less about that.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
Hey, everybody. Everybody.
Hold on, Kato wants to get in the thought. Go ahead, Kato. All right. Kato,
all I got to say is this. Now that you guys are talking about the Oscars, who cares about the Oscars? Because the Oscars never recognized real talent from the get-go. And
exactly.
All I could say is this, is that. In the Oscar history, there have been many, many blacks who have been nominated. Some have won, and some have lost. Now, it's time for us to do our own thing, do our own type
exactly.
of award show where we recognize
exactly.
where we recognize greatness within ourselves. That's what I'm
right.
going to say. And
I agree. I agree 100%.
Yep. And
we don't need their awards.
Yeah.
We don't know
where to
hide ahead from them.
Well,
okay.
We can do
okay.
ourselves. Now, let me finish my final thought. Let me finish. Now, my final thought is this: is that that's my take on the Oscars. As for President Obama, Well, you know what? You stood in the face of direct opposition, and as you leave the warehouse, we hope that you do one. We hope that you do more. You know, you got to listen to the voice of some of the people out there, whether it's the middle class and whether it's the black community. Listen to our voices, speak up and be heard. And as for children who are going to the LGBT schools, hey, whatever way, if you were born that way, hey, live your life. And everybody, peace, love, and happiness. That's all I got to say.
Okay, Kato, thank you so much. Take care.
Hey, hey,
you're
welcome.
Thank you.
Later, guys.
What is your final thought?
My final thought is, as we celebrate Dr. King's birthday today, you know, of course, thought this is an antiquated version of Dr. King that everybody, you know, goes for or whatever. But remember this. He was talking about getting to the money when he got killed. You understand? He talked about going back to Washington to get our check and get reparations. And he realized at the end of his life that we needed money, wealth, power, and influence. And as black people, that's what we need to focus on. Because people don't want to do things for us because we ask them to, or we be nice, or we play nice with them, all other bullshit. It's about money and power in America. And if we got to get our money together, you know, get that wealth, get that power, we influence things the way we want to. Yeah, like I said earlier, you don't ask politicians for shit. You tell them what you want, you smack them in the goddamn face with the money. That's all I used to do. And other races that have got shit popping, that's what they do. That's what we have to do.
Okay.
Black first.
All right. Black first. Thank you so much, Bill. Till next time.
Yes, thank you.
Yes,
good night.
Good night. All right. I got to squeeze this story in before we sign off. Ladies and gentlemen, only in New York City you might be able to find this. On 28th Street and 5th Avenue. What?
Go ahead. I was just reading the article as you were talking about. I thought it was a funny coincidence. Go ahead.
Yes. There's a booth for guys out there, ladies and gentlemen. For guys to, when they're stressed out and they need a place to entertain themselves, there's a booth called God Five, where a man can use the booth and watch the internet and relieve themselves from stress. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, on 20th Street and Fifth Avenue, I've seen the booth. This is a masturbation booth.
Are you
Sean
serious?
Black.
Yes, you didn't see this. It's all over the news.
This is the first I'm hearing of this. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Did I send this to you, Sean Black? Because I want this to be a surprise to you.
Wow.
There's a booth in the corner for some. Yes.
You want to know why this is a little poetic? It's because the Museum of Sex is right across the street on 27th Street in Fifth Avenue.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So if you need lube or condoms or wipes, you could just go across the street and purchase them.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, and this is an experiment they tried so far. So far, 100 men, and I think in a week, has used the booth.
Experiment.
Would you go in there? Would you guys go in there?
Oh, hell no.
No. There's some things that I keep at home. Thank you so much. And I'm okay with that.
I'm of the Pat Riley mindset. You know, keep everything in-house.
Well, how bad it is that you need to run outside to a booth. If you have a hard day at work, you need to go out there and release yourself from stress.
I would have assumed that most people that were doing this in public would go to like a fast food restaurant's bathroom or something. What would be the need to doing it in the street in a booth?
Because it's a novelty.
To defend the people out there to a little bit, it's excitement. How many people like to have sex in public? And they do it anyway.
I guess. I would think that you would want to, if you're going to fiddle your diddle in the street, I would think that you would at least, you know, think about doing that away from the street somewhere else.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, and one more stupid news I have to mention before we go. As of course, I could speak for Anisha B and Sean Black and myself. We did not win the Powerball, the big jackpot. But there was a lady, I forgot her name, who went to GoFundMe. And asked the people to GoFund her because she spent her rent the kids' food, the rent bill, everything, a Powerball ticket, knowing that she was about to win, but she didn't win. So she's asking the public to go fund her so she could get herself back on track. Now, she did raise $800 until she got cut off because a lot of people make a complaint about it. Who's stupid? Who's more stupid? The people that actually donated money to her or her herself that spent her savings?
Oh, you know what I think? I personally think the people that go that actually gave her money on the GoFundMe thing, they're the dumb ones. She made out like a fat cat because she actually got free money from people. That's the way I look at it.
That's $800. That's a bag.
That's $800. That's $800 more than she didn't have beforehand. Now, if she's dumb enough to actually go ahead and spend money on this scam, as far as I'm concerned, the lotto is nothing more than a giant scam. But in general, the fact that she actually went and crafted a GoFundMe page that she can get money out of people to play on their sympathy, oh, well, you know, I can't believe I spent all my money on lottery tickets. When the odds are one, I have a 1 in 200 million chance to win, and I spent all my money. My kids have no milk. We have no toys. No clothes.
Should,
I can't wash my underwear. And got $800 out of that. That is
Rod.
Well,
give her props.
Yeah.
Rod, give her props. Do the hot rod thing.
Give her props, but the other idiots playing Boo Boo the Fool are the ones that are going out there and sending the money to her. So you know what?
You know what?
You guys are the idiots.
I'm going to set up a GoFundMe for my drinking problem. I have a drinking problem. I can't put my drinking.
People would pay.
If you're you know what? If they're funding her, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn real cheap.
Hey, why not? All right, guys, we got 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Sean Black, what is your final thought?
Final thought is we're a nation in flux. Everything is happening at a rapid pace. You have to realize who you're going to be voting for because that person that you vote for is going to determine the future of your children. So keep that in mind.
Thank you very much. Anisha B., final thought?
Dude, just drink and be merry. Drink your glasses.
Okay.
That sounds
enjoy
like
life.
Your resolution.
Seriously, people take things so freaking seriously. Like, clink your glasses, enjoy life, smile. This is, people are just being ridiculous.
Okay, and my final thought is, ladies and gentlemen, some sad news. As we had our meeting yesterday, there's a good chance, until further notice, next Monday night will be our last show. Because as I discussed prior before, that I'm expecting a baby daughter coming up any time now. So we'll be on hiatus for the time being. I don't know when we will come back on the air, but I guarantee we'll do a couple more shows. You might hear a little bit of baby crying in the background, driving me crazy, but that'd be part of the show. So
yeah.
Please, pray for my girlfriend and my daughter to have a healthy delivery, of course. I cannot thank you so much for your support over the show and my friends over our second child-to-be. It's still unbelievable to me. And that's it. A quick story. Anisha B and I went to a store last week to order some food. And the girl asked, what's the name? And I told the girl, White Trash.
Oh.
And she looked at Anisha B. And she's like, no,
problems.
He cannot just say that.
Wow.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
He's got problems.
I'm your host, the Hot Rod, with
Sean Black. Oh, good grief.
And Anisha B. And hello, and as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Yours.
Oh,
good night,
brother. Good night.
She gave us a look like, you really call this lady White Trash? I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
And she was talking with, you know, the guy that sets up the food on the side? I overheard them talking about it.
Wow.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night,
White
night,
Trash.
Everybody.
Good night.